Alexis, he drove all this way just to personally beg me to acquiesce.
Of course he did. You are the only person in the show making headlines right now.
That's not true. Adriana had a DUI last year. Popped a breast, poor girl.
This week, new motel repairs are proving to be expensive for Johnny, who's also navigating how to pay for David's pricey catering taste. Moira's agent, Tippi Bernstein, shows up in town to try and woo her back for a reboot of Sunrise Bay. But when Alexis uncovers her mom's former co-star's dark secrets, it may change her mind about signing on. Grab a plate and warm up your slapping arm as we unpack Season 6, Episode 10, Sunrise, Sunset.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome back to the podcast.
Holla!
Post-Turkey Day.
Yeah! Sorry we're late.
Unexpected. Well, I shouldn't say unexpected. I don't know what we were thinking. We should have honored your self-care and early cat motherhood connection time as a new cat mom. We gave you some cat maternity leave and whatever the equivalent of maternity leave is for a cat aunt.
Unpaid leave. Maternity and aunt-ternity leave
to play with Katie's adorable kitten and enjoy our holidays last week. So thank you for giving us a little bit of extra break. Hope you all had a great Turkey Day if you are in the U.S. and celebrate such a holiday.
We got together intending to record for you guys. We had all intent to record, and I think one, we had a good lunch. We were just feeling lunch lazy afterwards. Yes. And then
this the distraction of the cat. Darling 2-pound angel of a kitten whose name, Katie, is
Lucy.
Lucy. If you didn't see on Instagram, she posted some very, you've taken a lot. She's very photogenic. Some very cute photos.
Oh my God. I have 7,000 photos of this cat on my phone already.
I am so happy for you. So I got to meet Miss Lucy last week when we were supposed to record. She is an absolute doll. It was the funniest thing ever in Katie's house. She's got two levels, and the downstairs was the kitten nursery floor.
Kitten Central.
And her two older cats were quarantined off by a baby gate, and they were very unhappy about that. But this little kitten is so cute and funny and playful and snuggly. I got to have some snuggles with her. She was like trying to nurse your blanket for like 20 minutes.
So that's a sign, actually. So what she does is she kneads and like sucks on the soft, fuzzy blanket. So I was reading about that, and that is a sign that kittens were taken away from their mother too soon. Well, she wasn't taken away from her mother. Her mother got hit by a car. So that's something that kittens do. And my niece Olivia's cat is over a year old now and still does it. And so it might be a lifelong thing.
I mean, Fern always does has always done
the kneading. Yeah, I've never
and
seen
she was a
cat
baby
do the
kitten without their mom. We don't know what happened, but
yeah,
they found the kittens stranded. So it was so cute. And your one cat, Sammy, as of last week, I'm excited for your updates, but as of last week, Sammy would like be in the vicinity, but was still kind of hissy. They just love you too much. They can't stay away from you.
You were here on Friday.
Friday, yes.
So we picked up Lucy on Wednesday afternoon, brought her home. And my whole plan was to keep everyone separate because my two cats, one especially, can be very temperamental. And I wanted everyone to get acclimated just by smell and sight only. Yes. And so we did that on Wednesday, and she was very scared, very, very shy. Like,
remember you were feeling bad about it too.
Yeah,
you were texting
I was
me, like, it was sad.
She was shaking at one point. So Joe and I just kind of left her downstairs by herself, let her get her space and explore. She did no exploring in that whole time and stayed behind the couch. So then I was like, finally, we have to do something else. Like, let's go spend some time with her downstairs and try and get her out of her shell.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, my fat cat, who is the nicer cat, Sammy, was sitting at this baby gate just staring, and she wanted in so bad in the family room and then in the biggest way. And so finally, the other cat, who can be more temperamental, was upstairs sleeping, and Sammy was down there by herself. And I said, I'm just going to let her in. I'm just going to let her in because everybody needs something needs to happen here.
Yeah.
So as soon as we let the gate in, Sammy wanders in, and it is like a switch flipped in Lucy. And she was like, oh shit, there's other cats here. Like, she ran right up to Sammy, who responded with a giant hiss in her face. She was not having it. She wasn't like combat everything. She just hissed and growled a little bit. And but that really opened Lucy up. She definitely was way less shy. So then, of course, we had Thanksgiving. We were gone a little while. I had a turkey trot in the morning, and then we went for dinner for about half of the day. So we left her in her bedroom by herself, and let the other cats just go on business as usual. And then you were here Friday, and we were still keeping them somewhat separate, but little Lucy realized she could quickly climb over that baby gate.
Well, so I saw you had to kind of create a roof.
That was a moot point. So I had to create, I was envisioning one of those like squirrel guards where they put on bird feeders so she can't get up and over. So we did that. So really, it was the perfect time to get her because we had a lot of time off work. And come Monday, that was the first day anybody was going to be going to work. And so we did keep her separate that day. And then after that, Joe works at home on Tuesdays. Yeah. So we were in the clear. I'm happy to report that today, Thursday, a week later, we were able to leave all the cats out and they're all getting along splendidly.
Not only are they getting along,
amazing.
You are like living the dream of somebody who has adult mature cats acclimating what seems like pretty well to
in a week. I thought it would take a little long. I knew I knew Sammy would be the easier one. I have no surprise at that. May has been pretty crotchety about things, like chases her a little bit and swats at her. And Lucy did learn really quick that she was the meaner of the two and kind of kept her distance
to stay away from.
But now it's like May has just understands that she's not
sent
going.
Me Snapchats, you guys, of
so cute.
Those little, like, it's we call them cat go-gurts, like the little tubes of
the squeeze ups,
the squeezy foods. And she'll give each cat a turn. And Lucy doesn't understand patience like your older cat,
because she
constantly
is, like,
is trying to like. But just the fact that you can have a meal together with all your cats.
So I did that.
Cuddle together. And
I did that yesterday with the go-gurt things after work. And everybody was so well behaved. The first day I did that with the go-gurt, I have audio of May going nom, 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 with every bite. Like, just pissed that this kitten is here. But she's not anymore. It's literally the cutest thing. It is insane how quickly you fall in love with pets. It is just absolutely insane.
Isn't it?
And even Joe, like, I wish Joe looked at me half as nice as he looks at that cat, man. He loves that cat. It's she's definitely like cured us all of our seasonal depression.
Yeah. Well, this was the perfect time to get
one
her,
kitten every November is all I need for that.
That's all you need. Therapy who? Just
can I get my therapist to write that out on a prescription pad for me?
Yeah, no kidding. Seriously.
So that's my update.
So
they're all
good to hear.
They're all coexisting and getting along. I'm very happy about
it. Happy for you guys.
What about you? Wedding news. Oh, well, you were in Michigan, first of all. And
yeah, so I was in Michigan.
Came home with the plague, per usual.
Came home with the plague, per usual. That's my signature move. Whenever I go to Michigan, I get nice and sick. But it's mostly because there's just a lot of kids there who don't know
kids
how to
and
sneeze
germs.
Into anything other than your face. So I was there. Susha and I went, and my whole family, brothers, nieces, and nephews were all there, which was nice. And we got to ask all of the little kids officially in person if they wanted to be in our wedding. And that was really cute. We took videos of their reactions. And most of my nieces, the older girls, were like super excited.
The younger ones don't really understand.
Yeah. And my niece Charlotte, she was a little skeptical at first of this whole thing. But then when she realized, like, oh, her cousins were all going to be in on it too, then she was like getting excited and talking about
the whole cousin crew.
So it was very cute. And yeah, it was just fun. I got to like give them little gift bags, and
they all said yes. I'm assuming
they all said yes, or their parents spoke on
as if they had a choice.
Can't say yet, but yeah, they all said yes. So that was a very fun thing to check off our list, and just kind of we're like between 100 and I think 50 and 155 days from the wedding, so it's like it's
so I have some work to do. Is what you're telling me?
Yeah, it's not that far off. So I just saw a thing on Instagram that said something like, I don't follow wedding Instagram or wedding TikTok or whatever, but I see things now and then. And it was like, to all of the 2024 brides, only 30 more days until
you can
say, I'm getting married this year. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm not going to be like,
you.
I don't know that I'm not that kind of person, but I'm like, yeah, that is exciting.
It's fun though. It's fun.
And we actually just had our finals week this week. So it's also hard coming back from Thanksgiving for teaching. And then it's like right into finals. But this was the last time I'm going to see this group of students because they go off on a co-op or an internship semester. So I won't see this group until the weekend after our wedding when we come back for summer school.
Oh, wow.
So it'll be a different group that I have in the spring.
Okay.
So it was kind of exciting because this was the group who like got to hear about some of our engagement news that had just happened over the summer. And they were like,
and they'll, you'll be married when they get back.
Next time we see you guys, yes. We were freshly married. So
that's fun.
So yeah, that was kind of my big wedding updates for the last couple of weeks.
Schitt's Creek related.
Yeah. So. The Good Grief. I've been seeing some promos for that online and you said that it is.
Yeah, I think there's right been now. Some like private screenings, Q&A things with Dan and everything. And from what I've seen, it's getting all rave reviews. And someone, as I suspected, said you made us laugh and cry, blah, 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 which is exactly what I would expect from Dan.
Yeah.
Although it's one of those all the feels movies, I'm sure of it. So
I think so.
So that's out there. Did we do any polls while we were gone?
I don't remember. I've had so much turkey between now and then. It's lucky I remember anything.
Hold on, I'm gonna check that.
It was the Rebound episode with Gross Old Men.
Oh yeah, we did. I don't think we did anything on that. Whoops, guys.
Oh, well.
Sorry.
It wasn't our favorite episode.
We were busy. You were busy.
Katie was about to become a new mother again.
I have something fun for us to talk about really quick.
Okay.
As you know, Stephanie, it is November. What's the date? 30th. And we are in the Spotify Wrapped era of the year,
yes.
Where everyone is
That's
sharing
been
their
the last
Spotify
48
wrapped.
Hours on my Instagram.
So of course we have, because our podcast platform is run by Spotify. We have Spotify for Podcasts, our Spotify Wrapped. So let me give you some stats from this year for fun. 82% of our listeners discovered us in 2023. I'm a little skeptical of that stat.
Have we grown that much that we have that many new listeners?
It seems like it.
Maybe.
Okay. So our number one episode always is You Get Murdered First, of course, because everybody goes to that first episode to see if they like us.
That means people are following along. So that's good.
Yep. And then we have been streamed in 13 countries this year, the United States being the top country, followed by the UK and Canada.
All right.
Our podcast grew by 34% in listenership this year, Stephanie.
Okay.
We are a top 10 podcast for 85 devoted fans and the number one podcast for 18 devoted fans.
Wow.
Now, that doesn't sound like a lot, but that means that 18 people out there are listening to just us. Or
we would need to rent a limousine to fit all of them in and maybe two limousines. That's
like
a
Hummer limo, right?
Yeah.
And like, more than two of them are our family because
that's okay.
It's like, I mean, I only know like a couple of my cousin Deanne shared her Spotify Wrapped and we were on hers today. So
one of them is not Sushant because I don't think he listens anymore.
I'm assuming one is probably your mom,
Jenny,
probably my cousin. One is probably Deanne.
Yeah.
But the rest are just people. Like, hey people,
hey friends.
So, and then my favorite stat overall is we've created 1.9k minutes of content this year. That's a lot
of rambling.
Mostly about our cats.
Tell us
and
how many likes and are in there. I do not want to know.
Nobody go count that, please.
No.
So that was just a few. The thing was really long and honestly I felt like they were grasping at straws of things to share with me. And I'm like, just give me the big grand picture.
The bullet points.
Bullet points. But it's fun to watch. It's fun to watch the little video and get those information.
Yeah.
So I'll share the last this week. I'll share the little last slide. They give you a little thing to download and share. And so that's always fun. I don't listen on Spotify personally. I'm an Apple Music girl and I did get my Apple Replay. And can you guess what my number one musician was this year?
Probably Taylor Swift.
Uh-huh.
Because you know what? She's everybody's number one favorite.
Yeah.
With the year she's had.
Yep, definitely. And I was just telling Joe, man, I haven't listened to the Eras playlist in a long time, meaning probably a few weeks. So probably should get back on that.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's really it for news, right?
I think
we're
all
up to date.
Yeah.
we'll keep you updated on Wedding and Lucy content throughout the next few weeks. Yeah, let's jump in.
Katie, this is episode 10 of season 6. This is the
we're in the double digits.
Sunset, aka pop depressed, poor dear.
Sunrise, sunset. Dun, 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 dun. It's like people sing that at weddings. People sing that before weddings. You ever hear that at a wedding?
We will not be singing that at my wedding.
Is this the little girl I carry?
Although you're going to be mic'd up, so you can technically say whatever you want.
Would you like me to perform a solo in your wedding ceremony?
All right. So yeah, I'll be leading this one. This is a short and sweet episode. We've got like two storylines really between all.
Really only two today.
Family members. We're going to start with the cold open. We're at the cafe for breakfast and Johnny is very excited, has to tell everybody that he is going to the wedding tasting later that day with David. Mm-hmm. And this is, I guess, not his and Moira's, but it sounds like it's his specifically
gift
to David for the wedding is paying for the food. And as he's telling Twyla, who's serving them at the moment or taking their order, David's just like ferociously shaking his head as if to try to get his dad to shut up about like stop talking about the wedding in front of Twyla, which is kind of weird. But then you understand because Twyla mentions, oh, you're not having the cafe cater after literally everything she's put up with this family. Like, that's not a wrong thing to maybe hope.
Meanwhile,
or assume.
You can also see a big shot of the back of that menu where it says catering available.
Yeah. Hello.
Where she's holding.
And Johnny trying to explain, well, yeah, David wouldn't want you to cater because I'm sure you want to be able to enjoy yourself at the wedding, which then David is like, oh my gosh, you just invited another person to my wedding. Thank you, Dad. And Moira, meanwhile, is sitting back enjoying this whole thing as Johnny is squirming and making a mess. And Johnny's trying to talk himself out of, you know, well, the food is a gift to David, but the more he mentions it, David says it feels like less of a gift, more of a burden.
He was trying to like put it off on David too. Like, it's really his choice.
It's his choice. And Moira even says to Johnny, look at you doling out gift after gift like a Turkish Saint Nick. So now Twyla is invited to the wedding. That's kind of the way her day is starting. And Moira says she has some good news that she is going to have a meeting with her former producer from Sunrise Bay, Tippi Bernstein. He's on his way in for a power lunch. And she assumes that he's going to have some crazy project or reunion or something because she has picked up quite a bit of fame from this Crows movie. So
she's back.
People are coming out of the woodwork back into her life. And just then, coming out from the bottom of rock bottom, under the rock that is at the bottom of rock bottom, Alexis, who looks like I've felt all week being sick, top knot bun, sweatpants, head to toe, couldn't give two fucks about anything. Like, how does she even get here is what I want to know. And David even says, good God, and like brave faces
as everyone.
She slides into the booth. Johnny tries to pep her up, saying, oh, you look so natural. And Alexis is like, actually, it was a bit of a rough night. Like, she's not pretending to feel any better than she does. While David pulls a stray hair extension out of her matted hair and just sets it delicately on his lap. So she's seen better days. She's still feeling pretty rough 2 weeks later after this Ted breakup and then also getting dumped by Farty Artie last week. So that's where we start with the cold open. Like I said, just kind of two main storylines. I think we're going to start with Johnny and David. We'll do their story. I think I like theirs a little bit better. So next week, this is all happening under the rotation of one day around the sun. Is that how it works? Once around the sun? No, that's a whole year.
One rotation of the earth.
Of the earth. There you go. It all happens in one day. We are at the new motel property, which you can see, I think maybe for the first time, the sign says Sherwood Motel, which I don't think we ever knew. Because I mean, I assume under the budding Rosebud Motel group that they'll all have the same name.
We'll be changing the name, right?
But for now, this one still says Sherwood Motel. and Johnny and Roland are kicking off their onboard meeting in the parking lot with about 10 new hires or so. So Johnny is passing out his book that he wrote to everybody. It's How to Fast Forward to Success by Johnny Rose. And meanwhile, Roland is already trying to roast and undermine Johnny in front of the new employees, trying to be like the cool boss. Meanwhile, Stevie comes out and says she's got a private matter she'd like to speak with them about. But Johnny trying to insist, oh, we're all family here, all these new strangers who don't know each other. And Stevie says, OK, well, if you want me to say it, we've got termite damage that Ronnie found and the foundation is about to collapse. So
since we're all family, since we're all family, you should know your job's probably not that secure.
We might be closed by the end of the week.
Yep.
Johnny, trying to keep his cool, calls for a quick five, says, help yourself to the vending machine, which I'm like, yeah, but you're not giving them any money. So they're going to have to like use their own quarters to get some of those.
Yeah. Or is Roland going to unlock it for them?
Maybe. So he and Roland and Stevie kind of huddle and panicking about these skyrocketing costs. Roland says, you know, I'm already down a kidney. I donated to my cousin Bruce. But I guess I could try to sell the second one and see how I do on an empty tank, which I do not recommend. That's when you have to go on like dialysis.
Yeah, your body will be actually poisoning you if you don't have a kidney, guys.
Stevie suggests a less medical route. They just should burn the place down to collect some insurance money. She knows a guy. But Johnny says, we are not burning anything down and we are not selling any organs. We are not that desperate yet. We will
find
out a solution.
What do you think a kidney goes for on the black market?
Oh my God, on the black market? Who knows? But I was going to ask you, like, talking about selling or maybe more ethically donating organs, living organs.
I think
deceased organs.
Kidneys are like the only thing you could actually donate one of, right?
An organ?
Like, I've heard of people donating a kidney. Yes. Or your bone marrow, like
bone marrow, blood, plasma.
Those are the only major organs you can donate.
Yes. Would you donate a kidney?
Oh, I've thought about this. Because don't you know the movie Steel Magnolias?
Yeah.
She needs a kidney and the mom gives her hers and like, it's great and it's all fine and dandy, but I'm just like, what if something goes wrong with my one then when I'm done, like later in my life, and then I've given it away? I guess it depends on who it is. If you needed a kidney, Seth, maybe.
Well, I have seen like cars driving around with like
looking for stickers, matches,
and they have like a QR code or something.
That being said, when I die, take all my organs.
Well, that was my next question is, are you an organ donor?
Sign me up. You take everything you need. I don't need it.
Yeah. I mean, I think I feel the same way, but it's in theory, it's weird to think about. But
eyes are something people talk about a lot. You can donate your eyes. That to me would be the craziest one. Like if you saw... Like, would you recognize somebody's eyes, do you think?
Well, have you seen the movie 7 Pounds with Will Smith?
No, I never saw that one.
Oh, he donates his eyes in that movie.
Oh, no kidding.
But there's also another movie that this kind of reminds me of this conversation. It's called Never Let Me Go. It's based on a book. It's really dark about these. It's like Keira Knightley and Andrew Garfield before like they were like in bigger, more well-known movies. But it's basically these kids who are like test tube babies who are bred to become donors to their originals.
That's like that book, My Sister's Keeper.
Kind of. Except there's a whole like school of kids who are being raised solely to like harvest living and deceased
organs. This is more of a scientific experiment versus
it's like a farm for organ donations.
Yeah,
it's
My Sister's really Keeper. That was a good book. The movie did not translate. It never does. The movies never translate. It didn't. Well.
But that whole concept is also very sad and complex. But apparently Roland has already donated a kidney and he only has one left. And that's probably not good because we've seen his food and drinking
eating habits.
So maybe a little more water would be good for him. Johnny says, keep cool, you guys. We will find out a way to pay for all these repairs. And Roland says, well, good, because I think my donated kidney was garbage anyways. Which, like, I think a doctor would, like, do some screening to make sure they're not going to give you a garbage kidney if you already have a failing kidney.
And you know what? They won't give you one if you're going to treat it like garbage, too.
Well, yeah.
Did you know that?
Yeah. Well, what an insult if you are, you're going to take an organ from somebody else, making their life harder, and then just get schwasted.
They're very hard stipulations to be on an organ donor list, and rightfully so, like you said. Yeah.
No, it makes sense. So cut to a little bit later that day, we are at the swanky restaurant where the wedding catering tasting is happening, and Johnny and Stevie both show up, which makes sense because Stevie is the maid of honor and David is already there with the chef. It's a very swanky looking restaurant, like before it opens. So there's nobody else there except David and the chef Penelope. And David is already like gushing over these menu options, and Johnny and Stevie are getting sticker shocked by just the look of this place. And Stevie even says before they get up to David, like, Mr. Rose, are you okay paying with food? This is an expensive place, and given
all the new, like, a lot of money,
the new expenses that just came up today. But Johnny says, can't back out now, Stevie, like, here we are, I said I would do this, and here we go. So David, in a very Bridezilla moment, wearing his icon shirt, calls him out for being 2 minutes late and says, if this was the real wedding, you would be locked out. Now, Katie, you've been to a million weddings. What is the general rule in your experience on like wedding start times? Is that like, is it like theater where it's like, we're going to start at 7, but maybe 7:05 is when the curtain actually comes
out? Honestly, like, I guess it depends on who's late in my experience.
Yeah.
I was always, you know, when we were filming, I was always with the bride. Things never go according to plan, first of all. Like, I mean, not never, but rarely. And it's always this, like, I have to travel to the venue and we have to get these pictures and we have to do this. And people are stressing out. And I would always say, I'm not an advocate for starting late, but I would always say just to calm people down, they're not going to start without you. You're literally the bride. Yeah. So whatever.
Yeah.
I would say most weddings started within 10 minutes of the start time, of when it said.
Our wedding event coordinator, he gave us some good advice because we had to figure out, like, we're still figuring out the timeline of our day, but like when we want the ceremony. And he said, you get the rentals for 8 hours for the venue. So what he likes to tell people is, when would you like your wedding to end? And start with that and then work your way backwards. Mm-hmm. So like, do you want to be staying till midnight? Do you want to be done by 9? Like, and then you can work backwards to figure out how the rest of the day. And do you want to have time getting ready at the venue before the ceremony? So we're still kind of figuring that out. But he's what time is the wedding?
What time is the wedding? leaning towards?
What I'm leaning towards is guest arrival at 4 and ceremony at 4:30.
I'm only asking because that's Cincinnati Marathon weekend.
Is it really?
Yes.
Oh, damn.
The marathon's on Sunday. There's a 5K on Saturday.
Well, we're in Newport. We're fine. We're on the other side of the river. But
I'm thinking I'm going to run in the morning.
I mean, if that's what you needed to get some like endorphins.
To get my creative juices flowing. Nah. It probably won't.
So yeah, we're doing like mid late afternoon. But anyways, David introduced his dad and Stevie to Penelope as basically the money and the mouth. Stevie is just here to eat. Penelope is already working with David on some options, and Johnny is like visually impressed, but is getting a little sticker shock. Like
I mean, he can tell it's going to be a lot.
He can tell it's going to be expensive, and comments on this salad, which David is like embarrassed that he thought it was a salad, because obviously it's just the garnish for a lobster roll, Dad. And he says, lobster, who are we inviting? The Vanderbilts? And this reminds David, we do need to think of a salad, though. And David is just groaning in excitement at the idea of a salad that Penelope recommends. That sounds yummy. And I'm like, a salad? Yeah, truffle.
Nobody gives a shit about the salad.
Like, why are you reacting? Like, if that was like some sort of chocolate dish, then yeah, I would be having that reaction. But a salad?
When we were going through the buffet line at Crystal's wedding, her friend Ashley and I picked up a salad plate. Like, they had a salad plate and a buffet plate. And like, we both picked up the plate and we both looked at each other and we're like, we don't need no fucking salad. And we put the plates back down and skipped
the line to the entrees. Salad if you don't want.
No time for salad.
Yeah. Well, Johnny suggests, well, maybe we don't need this fancy salad. Maybe we just use the garnish from the leftover lobster roll. Can that be the salad? Which reminds me of last week having to explain myself to Sushant while I was bringing kale, as because I brought a couple dishes or ingredients.
Well, that's right. I forgot you said
that. I had to explain why I was bringing kale as a garnish and not an ingredient. But joke's on him, because that made the difference for several dishes and centerpieces where we needed a little bit of extra dressing.
A little bedding, right?
A little bedding. And a stock of kale is like a dollar. So,
cheap.
I'm not
so going to
have this argument. But Johnny and Sushant would both be like, that is an atrocity. You're just going to throw out
that. I do like kale. I might eat that.
I mean, I used
if it was
to love
on my
kale,
plate.
We used to go to Bill Knapp's, which was this like chain sit-down buffet restaurant. And I would dip, they would bring kale out when you got like a potato or something. And I would dip it in ketchup as a kid. I felt like this is luxury.
So classy.
So classy.
My brother-in-law called that place Bill Craps.
Well, I think they went out of business. So that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they're
understandable.
Gone. They're all gone.
Stevie catches glimpse of the menu with the prices and she says, is this by table or by plate? Like, obviously it's by plate, Stevie. And that's when David says, oh, by the way, we're adding more plates.
Right.
Eight of my caviar friends from New York are coming now, which pushes Johnny further into dread about money in this whole situation now that he has to pay for this.
Mind you, I mean, David doesn't know also like the news
he
just got
know.
About the motel.
No. Johnny is internalizing all this. Stevie is aware, obviously, but David doesn't know yet. Penelope can sense that Johnny's getting a little worked up, so she tries to ease him with some juicy pork tenderloin. And Johnny, trying to be skeptical, but can't help but just swoon over this delicious that they're eating with their hands, which is kind of interesting.
She's obviously a good chef.
She's a good chef. Stevie says this is the best thing I've ever tasted, while Johnny's trying to downplay it. And Johnny says, well, you don't want people only talking about the food at your wedding. But David says, that's literally all I want them talking about, which I'm not sure that's 100% true. But I would agree. Weddings with bad food, you're going to remember that the food wasn't great.
Yep.
So it's best to be, you know, as impressive as you can afford to be.
I said the only thing I regret about Crystal's wedding is I wish I could go back in time and eat more of the food.
Have more food.
Because it was
real
good.
It was good. Yeah.
Yeah, it was real good.
David also mentions, well, maybe you should explore your way over to the duck confit, which I had to look that up because I've heard of that, but I don't eat ducks.
Oh,
so I didn't
yeah.
know what it was. Apparently, it's a French dish of duck legs, which are cured overnight in duck fat, and then they're cooked until silky and tender.
And the outside is, the skin is always like broiled or crispy on the top, too.
Have you had duck before?
Joe gets it whenever he can. He had it a lot when we were in Paris because he loved it. Like, I'm probably tried his, but that's not really my jam, so I didn't get it myself. But he loves, if he sees duck confit anywhere, he gets it.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's like one of his fancy dishes.
I haven't ventured far out of the turkey, chicken, poultry realm.
Yeah. I'm really like your standard farm animal girl when it comes to meats. Mm-hmm. One thing that did surprise me was when we were in Spain, we ate at this Moroccan restaurant and they had like a prefix thing where you pick two entrees. And so we chose a chicken and Joe wanted to try the lamb. And I'm like, that's fine. I'll have enough chicken and then some, like just get the lamb. And I did try it. And it was one of the best things we ate in Spain.
I've had lamb a few times and that is.
And it wasn't like lamb chops. It was like slow cooked, like falling apart. Roast beefy type. Yeah. And I was like, this is really good.
Yeah.
That's you. I don't deviate much farther than that.
No.
No venison for me.
I grew up with family members who hunted. So
don't try to sneak that shit in.
It makes me so angry.
Yeah.
I won't eat it out of protest now.
Pheasant. I have cousins that snuck pheasant into this chicken chili I was eating once. And I was like, no. I mean, I've been eating it, but now I'm mad.
I saw a video on Instagram where a family pranked their like 10-year-old daughter by putting a Cornish game hen inside of a turkey.
And she thought it was pregnant. I saw that too.
A headless cooked pregnant baby.
I feel like Cornish hen would be a fancy thing to serve at David's wedding.
That would be. And
one
like,
for every person.
You get on your own plate. Those are expensive, I bet. So Johnny, he's quick to confirm before he tries any more samples that they aren't paying for the samples as he's getting worked up. And when Penelope says, nope, they're not, he asks to be loaded up some more with some of that delicious beef tenderloin. Mm-hmm. So that's how the food tasting went. Great for David, not so great for Johnny's wallet. Back at the Rosebud Motel, Johnny, who brought back some leftovers, by the way, because they were just going to throw it out.
Good for him.
Is researching some half-off fumigation services to try to balance the budget. While Stevie is in the background this whole episode reading his book that he passed out to all the new hires. And he says, well, this guy will save us half the cost. He only has 2 stars, but that's better than the other guys I found so far. But Stevie says, well, is that going to be enough savings to cover the cost of the new foundation? Right. Which obviously, no, that's got to be like tens of thousands of dollars. Just then, David comes in and in a very like gracious move, I think, on David's part, he wanted to check in on his dad. He was being a bridezilla earlier, but he could tell that Johnny was a little worked up or the there was some awkwardness at the tasting and Johnny's right. playing dumb. Oh, I don't know what you mean about that. But apparently when Penelope asked Johnny if he wanted to crack open the creme brulee, Johnny said, if we break it, do we buy it? So he is clearly conscientious about money. And David just wanted to say, listen, if you're worried about those 8 extra plates I just dropped on you, don't worry. I wouldn't ask you to pay for those if you can or don't want to, because that wasn't in your original budget.
Right.
And then goes on to say that Patrick's parents are actually giving them a surprising sum of money that they had created a nest egg when they thought he was going to get married to, what was his fiance's name?
Rachel.
And so they're getting more money than they expected from them. And honestly, if Johnny doesn't want to pay for anything, he doesn't have to. It's going to be too stressful. And I'm impressed with David for wanting to like be gracious and support.
This is a really grown up moment for him.
A very rare move for David, but mm-hmm. this is not what Johnny wants to hear though, because his pride is nearly mortally wounded by this.
He doesn't want to feel poor again.
That the Brewers could swoop in and pay for the what was supposed to be his gift, and he's all he can think about is his struggles right now, and it's so unsettling for him. And so he insists, mm-hmm. I said I would cover the food. But if the Brewers want to pay for those extra 8 plates, I think that could be a nice gesture.
I mean, if we're looking at like $100 a plate here, that's
$800. Yeah. David perks up when Johnny agrees to let the Brewers pay for this extra table, thinking that that was the only problem, kind of a little like oblivious to the greater situation. And then he goes to leave. But Stevie can tell that Johnny is still very distressed. And she goes up trying to like comfort him really nicely as a friend and says, it's not always going to be this hard. But all he can think about is when he and Moira had their money and the nest egg they'd set aside for David's future wedding, thinking about how David wanted to fly everyone out to Bali for the weekend. And he's getting very sentimental and sad to think about where he's at now.
This is like a really cute moment for Stevie and Johnny, but where the hell is Bali?
Bali is in the Polynesian Islands.
Oh, yeah. It's part of Indonesia.
Yeah. So that would have been a big trip.
We're learning a lot of geography on this show. We
really are. Johnny says he has to go leave and get some air. He's just feeling very overwhelmed by all of this. And Stevie, who's still looking down at her book, we get a good like close-up shot of the cover. Fast forward to success with a young Eugene, Johnny Rose, on the cover. And then at the end of the night, Johnny has called a team meeting late to the cafe. He's already there with Roland, and they're trying to think about how they can get money for these repairs. Roland says he might be willing to sell his baseball signed by Gina Davis if it comes to that, which I don't know that I would do that, honestly. I would have to be desperate. Not.
That's a hot movie memorabilia.
Yeah, it sure is.
If you don't know, that's from League of Their Own. Know. These young kids out here probably don't even know.
Oh my gosh. I think they made a reboot of A League of Their Own, like a TV show.
I'm so sick of freaking reboots.
Yeah. The original.
Speaking of reboots, they'll come up later.
Oh yeah, it will. Stevie then just comes in. Hello, gentlemen. Being very formal. She's got an idea. She is here to propose to Johnny and Roland that instead of selling the property to recoup their losses, which was Johnny's original pitch for this meeting, she says, we need to find a way not to deal with just these small expenses, but how are we going to actually grow the business long term and turn a profit? And it's time to franchise by buying 20 to 30 motels, which are currently for sale. And she has brought listings of all of these.
She is all in.
She is all in. And think about the beginning of this season when she was not in at all.
She was going, yeah.
Was getting on a dangerous airplane.
I love it. I love the complete 180 she's out there. Yeah. Here.
She is all in. And it's honestly in part thanks to Johnny's book, because she read through the book and she read all his tips and tricks for how to be a successful franchisee and grow a business. And she says, if you could do it once, I think you could do it again. And you can tell she really believes in him. It's very endearing. And Johnny is suddenly like, he's in it. And he's thinking about getting we would need to get an investor, obviously. Yes. We don't have any seed money to start, but he could reach out to some of his friends, see if anyone would answer a call in some favors. And she reminds him, as he says in the book, you miss 100% of the tapes you don't play, which doesn't make a lot of sense. But in this context, it's a very sweet sentiment, I suppose.
That's nice, Johnny.
Roland also quotes from the book, to my wife, Moira, he didn't get past the dedication, but seems on board with this plan nonetheless. So that was a really big pickup moment for Johnny, where he was very low.
And now he's excited.
His partner, Stevie, is back and all in with a great idea. And we'll just have to see where this idea takes them in the next couple weeks.
Excellent.
So, being said, we are a little bit long, so I think we are due for a sponsor update, and we'll throw it to them and we'll be back to see what Moira and Alexis are up to.
Don't pack away those Thanksgiving stretchy pants just yet, because this week's sponsor is going to have you coming back for seconds and thirds. It's Penelope's Catering, the region's premier culinary catering service. Penelope and her team of Michelin tire-owning chefs work with each client to perfect an unforgettable menu that will suit any occasion, whether planning an MLM recruitment luncheon, a political fundraising event, or the wedding of your dreams. With dietary options to accommodate even the strictest of palates, rest assured that every guest will leave your event with a smile on their face and extra beef tenderloin in their pocket. So if you're ready to shock, amaze, and delight at your next event with a jaw-dropping culinary experience, call Penelope's Catering today to set up a consultation and complimentary tasting. Mention this podcast to waive the creme brulee cracking fee. Thanks again to Penelope's Catering, where you and your wallet can taste the difference.
All right, and we are back. Thank you, Penelope's Catering, for sponsoring this episode.
Thank you. Seth, I have two questions. Are you using Penelope's Catering, and when is the tasting? Can I come? I guess that's three questions.
That is more than one. We are unfortunately not using Penelope, but we are on the market for some Indian food. We're going to try to do some fusion mixing of Indian food. Mm. And our venue has a list of like preferred caterers, but we've definitely told them like we'd like to have some Indian food. So we're making
and
it happen.
As your officiant, I need to be there for that, right? For the
tasting?
I think
that's essential. I don't know how you could write.
How am I expected to write a ceremony?
The wedding if you don't know what food is coming
I don't know what
afterwards.
We're about to eat.
Exactly.
I need,
you need
my
to make
eyes
a seamless transition from from vows to food.
Yes.
But yes, thank you to Penelope nonetheless.
Yes, Penelope.
So we're going to pivot over to Moira and Alexis, who we saw at the beginning in the cafe. Alexis was looking pretty rough. Next, we see her. She's back in her room in bed under the covers, midday, full on depression mode. I know what that looks like.
Same.
Watching the box set of Sunrise Bay.
It's got to be on VHS, right?
It has
we're
to be.
We're not talking
a box
like DVD.
Set? No.
Yeah.
No way.
It's got a. They got a VHS player in their
room.
Did
you ever have a box set of any show on VHS that you can remember?
You know what I have on DVD? I have season one and two of Alf, the alien show. I loved it.
I had seasons one and two of The Facts of Life, which I was obsessed with, and they never put more than those two seasons on DVD.
But I always really wanted to get ER on box set because that was like my favorite show, but I never did. And I'm glad now in hindsight, because that would have been such a waste of money.
We had...
who knew that everything would be available instantly in the future?
We had one season of Little House on the Prairie on a box set on VHS, and that box set was like 16 inches wide because there were so many tapes. Da, 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 da. Here comes the hill. Da, da, da. But yeah, we're so big. Boxy. Ah. Episode where she pretends she has boobs and put apples under her dress and they fall out when she's writing up at the chalkboard. Oh,
we watched a lot of Little House in my house. My sisters were more into it than I was, but I was a little bit young to like.
Poor Mary woke up blind. It was a rough life. So yeah, watching some VHSs in the motel
of Sunrise Sunset.
Sunrise Bay.
It's, which if you think about a soap opera. Oh, you already said this. It That's would be like
so
super
many wild. Tapes.
Like 75 tapes.
Because there's
in
like
one
300
season.
Episodes a year of a soap opera. They constantly are churning out new garbage. So it's Moira and Victor Garber, who is from, I always think of him as the guy on Titanic.
Titanic.
I don't know what else
oh,
he's
yeah.
been in.
What else has he been in? The other thing I know him from is the Disney Cinderella version with Brandy in it.
Oh
and
my
Whoopi
gosh,
Goldberg.
He's Whoopi Goldberg's wife.
Yeah, he's
the king.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
But he's more famous than that. He's Canadian too, just like the yes. most of the crew here.
I did see that. He is Clifton Sparks.
But yeah, like Mr. Andrews from Titanic, I think is his most famous.
Yes.
In my life, his most famous role.
Well, now it's that and Victor Sparks for me.
Clifton Sparks.
Mr. Sparks, Clifton.
Victor
Sparky.
Garber.
Victor Garber. Victor Sparks. Did I say Victor Sparks? Oh my God.
Yep.
All right. Well, it's Victor and Moira on screen. They are like competing doctors on this show is yeah. the gist.
They're like the leads.
The
main characters.
And Alexis is watching from bed. These crazy storylines going on as Moira walks in and tries to explain how it all makes sense together. And Alexis says, Mom, you were great in this, but Clifton is awful. Which Moira says, well, that's Uncle Sparky to you.
Ugh.
Which is gross.
Yuck.
Calls out some plot holes. And then Alexis rolls out of bed, seeing her mom's getting ready for this meeting with Timmy Bernstein, assuming that she will go along as her mom's publicist.
If you're going to meet Tickle Bernstein, she
Tickle
says.
Tickle Bernstein. But Moira insists, giving Alexis a once over, like, you are in no condition to be in public with me. So you should stay here and focus on your critical self-care. And I like that Moira's like gearing up in fingerless leather gloves, like she's ready to go into battle almost.
Going into a boxing match.
And Alexis doesn't really put up a fight too much. Goes right back into the episode and we cut to the middle of the scene where Moira's character is saying, how dare you make me kill my father twice? And then slap, 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 chugs some pills and then looks away dramatically. Made me very nostalgic for my soap opera watching days.
Oh, yeah.
Next, we see there's a lot of cafe action in this episode because next Moira is back in the cafe with
her
meeting
lunch.
With Tippi, who is a greasy casting of somebody who reminds me of a greasy real life film producer who we will not name.
Greasy or sleazy was my adjective of choice for him.
Yes. Like, looks like he fell into the French fry deep fryer bin before he crawled over here. Moira fucking Rose, he says as she comes in. Struggles to get up out of the booth, calls her as gorgeous as the day he discovered her. As he discovered her, he's taking credit. Which I don't know if that's true or not. And then he's going off on a tangent about how he married his therapist who quickly divorced him. Blah, blah, blah. Trip down memory lane before he gestures over to who we just saw on screen, Clifton Sparks.
Clifton fucking Sparks.
Who he brought all the way from wherever they came from as a surprise. Clifton's over at the bar drinking already. Ugh. Calls her Muffy.
He's the worst.
He's the worst. But the best casting for this worst kind of guy.
He did a good job.
Moira says, you're looking fresh and dewy.
He's this season's Sebastian or Claire. Am I right?
He's both of them combined.
Mm-hmm.
He says, yes, I gave up the drink. Strictly a wine and scotch man now. So he is plastered.
So what did he give up? Beer?
Beer.
Vodka.
Mike's Hard Lemonade. I don't know.
Malt beverage.
They squeeze into a booth and she says that she hasn't seen Cliffy since he was on that courtroom drama about the potty potty mouth child. But that was just a real news coverage about when his daughter emancipated herself from him. They quickly pivot to the Crows movie, which Tippi is lathering her up with praise about. And Clifton has to admit he hasn't seen it yet. He's like, but I can't wait for the screener. So clearly they're here because they want to hitch their wagon to her train.
Her horse.
She is climbing the social ladder or the fame ladder once again.
And they might as well jump on.
They want to jump on. So Tippi says they are here to offer her a contract for a sign-on for the reboot of Sunrise Bay.
Oh!
And not just in daytime, but in prime time.
Okay, well, that's big.
That is bigger. But Moira is kind of skeptical. Like, no, this can't be correct. He said, you know, even Nicole Kidman has signed on. And Tippi says he called Clifton. And Moira says, alphabetical, I'm assuming, is why you called Clifton first. But Clifton said he wouldn't do it without Moira. And she reminds them both that they had Vivian killed off the show. But Clifton says, when has that ever stopped us? Then that's what the writers are for. They're there to figure out how to bring characters back in crazy ways.
It's a soap opera. They could literally write anything magical and she could be back alive.
Well, she said she was shredded last time. So they're going to have to figure that out. Now, Katie, I did pull up an article. Fatal Attractions, 13 of the weirdest deaths in soap history. Because I remember watching All My Children. There were some very crazy people coming back from the dead.
Oh,
I'm just going to run through the headlines of these. I don't have time to get through all of them, but maybe some you recognize. I like
this. This is fun.
In 1998, Catherine Bell from General Hospital fell into a trap meant for Helena and fell to her death from a parapet, so everyone believed. But Helena was saved with an experimental drug. But her return from the dead didn't last long. She was later pushed from the same parapet by Helena, who was disguised as Laura Spencer, moments before Catherine's wedding to Nicholas Cassadine was set to occur.
How much more complex can we get with
this one? I remember Dixie Cooney from All My Children was killed off in 2007 in a controversial move criticized by many. She ate peanut butter pancakes laced with a drug, which caused her to collapse and go into VTAC.
Oh my God, I thought you were going to say she had a peanut allergy.
And she was the third victim of, there was this mass murderer called, or mass murderer? What did they call it?
Serial killer.
Serial killer called the Satin Slayer. And she was killed, but then she appeared as a ghost, and then she was revealed to be alive because one of the doctors was keeping all these Satin Slayer victims arrive. And
so who the hell was the ghost?
Exactly. That's what it says. We'll never know. Oh my God, there's so many.
Is there any more Days of Our Lives?
Let me see.
Because that's the only one I watched.
Let me go down the list. Oh my gosh, here's somebody bobbing for apples. Mary Pat Ingalls dies on General Hospital.
Ooh.
She's in her head is placed in the barrel of apples to be discovered at the Halloween party at the Floating Rib.
Ew.
Oh my gosh. Bold and Beautiful. Days of Our Lives. Is that the one you said?
Yeah.
Hope Brady's death by magic gone wrong on Days. In 1990, Days of Our Lives killed off Hope Brady in the most unusual fashion. It was during the Cruise of Deception storyline, which featured magician and villain Ernesto tricking all his enemies in Salem into taking a cruise on which he planned to do away with them. The ship sank and the members of Salem made their way to his island. There he kidnapped Hope Brady and in his last magic trick while trying to escape, held her in a cage over a vat of acid. The cage exploded and Hope plummeted into the acid and was presumed dead. Years later, Hope would be resurrected.
How? I think that I came back into the story when she was resurrected. I never saw. I didn't. I think it was too before my time. But how? I don't know. With third-degree burns and skin grafts.
Here's one more Days of Our Lives. The Salem Stalker storyline in 2003 saw some bizarre murders, including Cassie Brady's corpse falling out of a turkey pinata at Thanksgiving.
Oh, my God. Ew.
However, it was the death of the show's beloved Alice that was the most difficult. She was choked to death on her own famous donuts. When all was said and done, all the victims were revealed to be alive and living on Meliswan Island, part of an elaborate revenge plot by Andre DeMira.
Good God. Do people watch this and actually think like this?
Yes, because we did.
This is quality
television. Me and all my aunts and grandmas, we ate that shit up.
You're right. I did too. My 90-year-old grandma, God rest her soul, loved that shit.
So yeah, in that context, Moira's storylines make a little more sense.
Yeah, I mean, anything is possible in anything the soap opera world.
These are the days of our lives. So Tippy reveals this contract for this new primetime Emmy contender, as he says it, and he slides it towards her, tells her to take a look, and they'll just celebrate later over drinks. Both men give her this like enticing look as she thinks about it. So she's really like, I think when he said prime time, that really made her eyes light up a little bit, because we know based on the Crows movie fame, and even last week when she had to kind of make amends with that promo video, like she is picturing a life outside of this town after all of this. And so this is potentially her one of those opportunities to get out and get back into the spotlight. So Moira comes back to the motel, eager to tell Alexis of her news about this reboot. But Alexis, who has perked up, is now like out above the covers. She's into some Sunrise Bay message board. She says at one point, she's now the moderator of this message board, this fan forum. And she's got a million questions about, why did you get killed off after giving birth to your 9th child? And then you vomited a demon into the toilet. This sounds like what I was just reading to you.
Drowned and died.
And then was shredded. That was one of her deaths. And Moira mentions, well, at the time she was trying to negotiate a better contract, and it was her own fault because she unwittingly negotiated herself off the show. But Alexis, in this deep dive, has found some fan conspiracy theories that suggest that Clifton Sparks was jealous of her fame on the show and had her killed off. And she even found a clip from a red carpet event where Clifton is kind of not so slyly alluding to that being the case. And it's streaming on Housewives Network, which is also kind of funny.
Course.
Moira watches the clip, though, and isn't fully convinced, insists that's just Clifton. He was drunk. And she stumbles her way through sharing the news of this reboot, but Alexis is still very suspicious that if Clifton is involved with this whatsoever, he probably just wants to cling on to your newfound
success. Alexis is like her,
snapped out of that
like depression. Bodyguard. She is like her bodyguard almost.
This is also like, this is her realm. This is her world. And I think this is proving that to her and to Moira that like, this is PR and marketing and media. This is her bread and butter.
Mm-hmm.
And so Alexis says, you know, I think there's more to this story. You are the only one getting any fame from the show right now. But Morgan insists that's not true. Apparently, Adriana made headlines when she had a DUI and popped a breast, poor dear. Which was our title. And that is a mouthful. That is hard to say.
Popped a breast, poor dear.
Although I do know that implants dissolve. They only last for like so long, so you would have to like get them replaced.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Because there's saline or whatever is in them, or gel or something,
and they just disintegrate.
I guess so. You wake up one tit short one morning and gotta go back to the doctor. I don't know.
Like, if of all the things, one tit short was not anything I would ever have expected to come out of your mouth in that moment or any moment in time. One tit short.
I think we've come up with some, like, we don't have merch, but if we had merch,
it would be random random shit that we've said.
Moira insists, though, you know, this sounds like a legitimate deal, but Alexis says, if you're going to go through with this after watching this clip, you should be considering what the contract spells out and make sure you're getting what you deserve before you sign anything, which is great publicist or agent advice.
Yeah, I love this too, because Moira's so eager to just jump in and be like, okay, whatever you want, you know, and it's like, no, know your worth, girl.
Yes. So all great advice coming from Alexis. Unfortunately, Moira doesn't want to hear it in that moment. Says maybe a little more housework and a little less mouse work will be good for your self-care. But you can tell that this revelation has made her consider the reality of this offer and whether she should be jumping on it as eagerly. Her mood is definitely a little deflated as a result, too. So later that night, she shows up for drinks at the Wobbly Elm. The gentlemen are there, shwasted already. She's wearing a very Vivian wig based on the clips that we saw earlier with like the blunt bangs and the bob.
Very slick and smooth.
Very slick. The boys are knee deep in their drinks, but glad that she showed up and offer Moira a drink with two olives. But she says she wants to stay lucid for their Congress. And Clifton is already brainstorming ways that they can bring her back on the show. Maybe the time machine in the hospital broom closet could be a way to bring her back. But she says it's not easy to forget the way that they killed her off last time. Clifton, who's already very drunk on scotch, basically just blurts out, get over it. You know, contract negotiations fall through all the time, which gives away the fact that he knew about her contract negotiation.
Inside information.
And she said, I never said anything about that. But he tries to play dumb. And Tippi tries to reel her back in with the contract. But she mentions very cleverly that she heard some rumors about Clifton having written her off. And his bluff, he's too drunk, doesn't last very long because he quickly confesses, says he was a different man before his liver transplant. Oh, my God. He had a liver transplant. Yeah. And look
about someone who doesn't deserve a liver.
Exactly.
Also, can you give away like part of your liver? The liver is like one of those things that could regenerate.
It can regenerate partly.
Could I give someone half of my liver?
I mean,
if they needed it,
if they needed it.
Let's be honest. My liver is probably not that great anyway.
You should keep what you have, I think. I mean, that's also something you can donate after you die. If it's
he's abusing that liver if he got a liver transplant. My goodness.
He hasn't changed his ways at all. And he says, Moira, you should be complimented by how intimidated I was by your talent, your star power. And she then guesses, well, Clifton, were you also responsible for leaving me off the daytime Emmy ballots every year? But Tippi insists, no, we submitted you each time. And actually, they submitted her twice one year when she played herself and her own brother, which gets a look from Clifton like, that's my category. And she realizes in this moment, she did not negotiate herself out of her contract as she thought back then.
They negotiated her out.
They negotiated her out. And Tippi, desperate to get her to sign on to this new deal, says, well, let this new show, this reboot be our amends so we can all get back to doing what we love. And she says there is something she'd love to get back to doing. And she gives Clifton her best Vivian triple slap a la sign the fucking contract is what it reminds me of from season one.
Yeah, because remember, Roland, slap me. I'll do it for a slap. Slap me, Moira. Slap me, Moira.
It's always the triple slap. And then she turns to Tippi and says, now, Mr. Bernstein, I have a few demands. And then we can only assume she goes into negotiation mode.
So good. Good for her.
So good, Moira. And good on Alexis for stepping in and helping giving her mom advice in such a big way. So we only can presume that they negotiate because later that night, Moira is back at the motel to tell Alexis how it all went. And Alexis is actually motivated enough by this whole ordeal to get up out of bed. She's also afraid of getting bed sores, which is good to, you know, have that in perspective. She's going to go off on a late night run. So she's got her mojo back. David, however, is caught up in this box set of Sunrise Bay now and asks about, will you be trapped in this crystal for the entire episode? And Moira calls Alexis a shrewd little Reynard. And that she was right all along about Clifton having her written off the show. And she used that intel to negotiate a better deal since she's the only one making headlines right now.
Right. She's the moneymaker.
She is. So her terms were that she would get to decide how Clifton is killed off the new show by a death of her choosing. And that she also asked for more money and a diamond tennis bracelet. Which gets a look from Alexis.
And then that's a bit much.
Alexis says, well, did they take the offer? She said, no, I made them an offer they had to refuse. But thank you, Alexis, for taking my rose-colored glasses off, basically, so I could see Clifton for who he was. And if you could do all of that, Alexis, without getting out of bed, just imagine what else you are capable of, which is such great Moira mom advice and giving Alexis that boost and telling her, like, you've been down in the dumps about your relationship, but you are, don't forget what a capable PR person you are.
Throwaway episode, but that's a good boost for Alexis and Moira for that matter.
Like, and Johnny got a boost. Like they all got, they all got a good boost
here in this episode.
So just as Alexis is about to go on her run, she's all motivated now. They quickly get sucked back into those crazy storylines of Sunrise Bay as Moira and Alexis sit back down to keep watching along with David. Until the episode ends. But yeah, that's our episode. It's a cute one, I think, for Alexis Quick. And Moira. It's Quick. I don't love the whole Sunrise Bay bit of it a ton, but like you said, I think Tippy and Clifton are kind of our Sebastians mm-hmm. of this season.
I don't love, we've already talked about this and we'll talk more about it, how Moira is so just gung-ho about getting out of here still. It's like, bleh.
Well, just like,
and in that way,
I talk about this with my therapist all the time. I live my life in chapters, Katie, and those okay. of you listening are 18 number one fans. So I'm not one to like revisit things I've done in the past a ton. And to do something that's literally a reboot with the same characters and same actors, like, I feel like she's grown so much that there's so many more other exciting things she could be doing.
Let's talk about reboots in general. Okay. I hate them. Like, I cannot stand, like, right now, like, Frasier's getting a reboot and like this and that. Everything's getting a reboot. Roseanne had a reboot. This and that reboot.
Will and Grace, like, had a reboot.
Can we not have original ideas anymore? Yeah. Like, stop trying to beat a dead horse and get mm-hmm. money out of something that was.
Have a new idea.
Yeah, I can't stand it. And remakes, movie remakes.
Like, it'll be good enough to like get around TV, but it's not gonna be.
It's not gonna be what it was. It's not gonna be what it was. Guys,
no, it's not.
Reboots is exactly why I don't want a Schitt's Creek movie or a reboot. Yes. It's not going to be what it was.
Keep it perfect the first time.
Yep. Yeah.
So what are we looking at next week, Katie?
So next week we have the boys' bachelor party. Woo-woo. Which I'm very much wondering what's happening with your bachelorette festivities. Did you talk about that with your sisters-in-laws?
They would like to do something in theory, but logistics make it complicated. So
it's not that TBD hard. I'll help if they need assistance.
Okay. Well, I think it's.
Well, it doesn't need to be anything like wild. That's not really your style. But like, if we all want to get together and like just have a slumber party and some dinner, like, we should at least do that. And like, you know,
Sushant has made it very clear he does not want a bachelor party, which I'm like, okay, that's fine. I'm like taking
no strippers for him.
No strippers for him.
Anyway, the boys are having their bachelor party next week. They're having their bachelor party, and Johnny is going to really start pounding the pavement in terms of investors. He talked about that a little bit this week, and Alexis kind of tries to get her mom another quick little side gig, if you will, now that we don't really know what's happening with this Sunrise Bay thing. So a lot of little things happening next week, but the bachelor party is the most fun. I think we'll talk about, we'll probably have lots to talk about for that topic. I feel like
This week, though, questions we can ask. I want to know, what was your, if you were a soap opera viewer, devoted viewer, what was your soap opera of choice, and maybe crazy storyline of choice that you will never forget?
And write us your best soap opera death for each of us.
Oh my God. Yes. You know what? That reminds me. So this new Hunger Games movie that's coming out that all my students are obsessed with, they put all of our names in like the program, like all the instructors, into a Hunger Games simulator. And they were reading us back the transcript today of like who killed who. Apparently I died off very quickly.
Oh.
And then my boss killed one of our like top students, and it was like a whole thing, but it kind of reminded me of
that's you fun.
Just, so yeah, how would we die? Who would kill who? Or how would we be killed in a soap opera? Would love to know it.
I feel like I would just die an old woman and my cats would
eat you.
Eat me. No, but make it more dramatic for us, guys. Come up with some clever ideas.
Something clever.
So, your most wild soap opera death.
Also, like, what's the best wedding food you've ever had? Or best catering? Any catering recommendations? I could use some.
In Cincinnati specifically.
Can they come to the Cincinnati, Kentucky, Southern Indiana, tri-state area?
So the Cincinnati Marathon is called something about the pig, the running with the
flying pig.
The flying pig.
Yeah.
Is there a good barbecue that weekend? Is that why it's called that? What is the deal?
It's because Cincinnati is Porkopolis, because we used to be a big meat processing city.
Oh, processed
lots of pork. So we've got pig logos
in your DNA.
It's in our DNA.
Pigs in the Cincy DNA. Okay. Yeah. All right. So, yeah. All right. Well, I feel this episode was good, quick, a little off the cuff, unhinged at times.
It was, but like just I said, we've got just a few more left. We're cranking them. And Katie, so happy for you and your new kitten. Can't wait to get those weekly updates. We've got 4 more episodes to go, if you can believe it. And then we'll have our
Simply
final
the best.
Simply the best debates. So with that being said, Katie, until next week, best wishes.
And warmest regards.
Fat Spatula.